United States against Vance. Mr. Anderson.
May it please the Court, I'm Kent Anderson with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, representing the appellant, Terrence Vance. In this case, in 2009, Mr. Vance had 2.9 grams of crack in a car, and in 2008, he had 25.1 grams of crack in a house he was staying at. And as a result, he pled guilty to one count of possession with intent to distribute and another count of possession with of at least 5 grams of crack to distribute. Unfortunately, he was also a career offender, which meant that his guidelines range was 262 to 327 months. The court sentenced Mr. Vance to 262 months in prison because that was long enough to satisfy law enforcement. However, that sentence is procedurally unreasonable. First, the court failed to appropriately account for the parsimony clause in Section 3553 when it mistakenly said that the reduction in sentence ratios in the Fair Sentencing Act wouldn't affect Mr. Vance, even if it did apply to him. And the standard of review for that is abuse of discretion and clearly erroneous for factual issues. It's not plain error, as the government suggests. There was no objection. That is true. However, the court announced its decision before Mr. Vance could object or argue for a different conclusion. And this court has made clear that that a defendant doesn't have to complain about a judicial choice after it's been made. Now, this court, the circuit, of course, the Fair Sentencing Act reduction doesn't apply to Mr. Vance. That's been brought into question somewhat by the recent Douglas decision in the First Circuit. So the Supreme Court may end up disagreeing. We'll see. But as to the retroactivity of the act. But in any event, the court stated that it wouldn't affect Mr. Vance's guidelines range, even if it did apply. The government agrees that this is wrong, because if it did apply, his maximum sentence would have been 30 years rather than life, and that would have brought down his career offender. And since the career offender guidelines ranges are tied to the statutory maximum, that would have been brought down his guidelines range. And that's relevant to the question of whether the guidelines range that he was sentenced under was greater than necessary. It doesn't change the actual guidelines range, but it's certainly relevant to the 3553 factors. This court has to be able to determine that the district court looked at it and determined that the sentence does conform with the parsimony principle. But there's nothing in the case to support such an inference. The reduction in sentence within the range wasn't due to mention of general 3553A factors. It was due to what would satisfy law enforcement is all. Doesn't quite seem to be an indication that the court was seriously considering the parsimony principle or anything else. In addition to the court's limitation consideration, the Fair Sentencing Act and the effect on the guidelines did make it appear that perhaps the court even thought the guidelines were mandatory. Now, finally, the court failed to explain.
You are not seriously suggesting that the district judge was unaware of Booker and Kimbrough and Corner, are you?
I find that unlikely.
Yes. We find it more than unlikely, I think.
A mental lapse, I suppose, is possible, but I do find it unlikely that the court was completely unaware of those cases. In any event, the court also failed to explain why it didn't reduce Mr. Vance's sentence due to the existing crack powder disparity. If Mr. Vance had possessed powder cocaine instead of crack cocaine, his offense level would have been 31 instead of 34, which would have reduced his guidelines range down to 188 to 235 months rather than 262 to 327 months. Now, Mr. Vance did ask for a reduced sentence based on this disparity. He didn't do it until a sentencing hearing, but he did ask for it nonetheless. And courts can certainly reduce even career offender sentences based on this disparity, as this court has held in Corner. So the argument wasn't frivolous. And courts obviously have to give reasons for rejecting arguments that are not obviously frivolous, and the court failed to do so. The government points to the court's earlier statement about the effect of the Fair Sentencing Act. Well, that couldn't possibly have addressed this request because it preceded Mr. Vance's request. So that wasn't addressing the request for a lower sentence based on the existing disparity. In addition, it was talking about the current, more recent reduction in sentences. It wasn't talking about the
I'm puzzled by why the district judge would have to say more than he did. What he said, to sum it up very briefly, is I'm not going to give a break to a career offender. This man is a career criminal. He deserves a serious sentence. Now, why does a judge have to say more than that?
It doesn't necessarily. However, he was basing that on the erroneous view that the Fair Sentencing Act wouldn't make any difference, even if it did apply for one thing. And
the judge correctly calculated the guideline range. He gave your client a sentence at the very bottom of the guideline range, and said, "I'm not going to give him a bigger break because he's a career criminal." I mean, that seems perfectly straightforward.
He did. He did do that, but. And he may have come to the same conclusion had he been fully informed of the facts, or fully aware of the facts, I should say, of how the reduction in the mandatory minimum would have affected Mr. Vance's sentence if it applied to him, and therefore he was able to consider, if Mr. Vance had committed his offense a little bit later, this would have been his guidelines range. So is the higher guidelines range really the appropriate one? I mean, it still would have been a very high sentence, even at the 188 to 235 months, if he chose to reduce his sentence to that, which, of course, happens to be the same one that it would have been if he had possessed powder cocaine.
You're in your rebuttal time, you know.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Mr. Norwood.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. With respect to the argument that the district court did not know the guidelines were advisory, I think the district court said throughout the sentencing that it was referring to the advisory guidelines, and the district court knew that.
Now, there isn't any evidence that the judge considered the crack powder disparity in the career offender guideline. Is there? I mean, his comments about the Fair Sentencing Act came before the defendant made that argument, and the judge in those comments suggests that whether it was crack or powder wouldn't have made a difference. But there was a different career offender guideline range for powder, right?
Oh, yes, Your Honor. If this were powder cocaine, there would have been a different guideline.
Right.
Range.
And with such a big effect on the guideline range, why shouldn't we send it back to be sure that the outcome wouldn't have been different?
Your Honor, there were no pre-sentencing pleadings by the defendant, either a objections to the pre-sentence report or a sentencing memorandum, raising the crack powder objection. It's my belief that Judge Gilbert was taking a sort of a preemptive strike and saying, it doesn't matter if it was crack or powder. I'm sentencing you on the basis of you being a career offender and based on your criminal history, and that's the motivating factor for this guideline range. If this court is so inclined to remand for clarification, I suggest the court do a limited remand to make sure the district court understood the difference and ask whether its sentence would be the same in light of any crack powder disparities. I think that'd be a simple way to address any of the court's concerns as to whether or not Judge Gilbert actually took that into account. There are no further questions.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Norwood. Anything further, Mr. Anderson?
Yes, Your Honor. So I would just note that the only statement the court made was that even with the reduction in the cocaine base, in terms of the guidelines, really that would have no effect on in this case because of the career offender status. So that makes it appear that all the court was considering was whether it would reduce Mr. Vance's guidelines range. Well, obviously it wouldn't, but the court didn't consider the effect on the 35 to 3A factors. Therefore, this court should remand Mr. Vance's case for resentencing. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.